such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. A good Monday. I'm Father Anthony. I'm your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have on Christ Jesus. On this, the nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today, the Church celebrates the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, and also, by the way, 4 years ago today, we started a Winds of Change.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, when's the anniversary?
Yeah. Today's the anniversary. Yeah,
it was you and Tony.
That.
Yeah,
right.
Jerry and I were in Fatima together.
You were here in spirit.
Oh, that's right. You guys weren't here. Yeah.
Yeah, we were praying. At the same time, we were at Mass, and you were starting
the radio program.
Yeah, it's September 8th.
4 years. Mm-hmm. 4 years.
Wow.
Because we purposely began on the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, anyway. I'm assuming that's why you're here today, Geraldine. You know?
Actually, it is.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I like that Mass, too.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be here this morning.
The genealogy is beautiful.
Oh,
isn't
it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
In fact, we'll talk about that in a moment. The Holy Father had some beautiful reflections this morning on the occasion of the birthday of the Blessed Virgin.
Uh-huh.
So, but you all had a nice weekend. Everybody's doing fine, and
it was beautiful weather.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, my gosh, it was beautiful. Absolutely.
Very beautiful weekend.
Today's nice too. It's going to be
this whole week.
So,
pray.
Anyway, Nick, how are you doing over there?
Pretty good. I'm just hanging in there, just having my lunch at the same time.
All right.
Because right after,
what are you having for lunch?
He multitasks.
Mm-hmm. Turkey sandwich.
Oh,
and
good.
Pasta
good
salad.
Very
but
good.
Mainly because right
I like
after
pasta.
Here, I've got to rush to get to the Y actually by 2:30.
To so burn it all off.
A lot going on today. Busy Monday for me.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your lunch.
No, thank you.
Just keep us on the air, okay?
Enjoy the turkey. Enjoy the turkey.
But my weekend was fun too. I had a good time.
Good. Good. Yeah, we had a busy weekend too. This
is
a big time for weddings. Big time
yes,
for weddings.
And they had beautiful weather. I saw the bride coming out on Saturday.
Right. I'm trying to remember what. Let's see. Who was the? Oh, yeah. That was Michael and
Angela.
And Angela.
Uh-huh.
Angel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very nice people from Ohio, and mm-hmm. her family's from Ohio, and Michael's family is all from. We're just
across the street.
Across the street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But really nice. Yeah, they had wonderful weather.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's Monday. Boy, I feel like I'm kind of waking up here. You know, I woke
well,
up
that's good.
At 4
Rise
o'clock.
And shine.
But kind of, I just like want to take a nap right now for some reason. Anyway, well, let's just go right into the, there's a number of things. But I want to share with you a little bit of what the Pope said about on the occasion of the birth of Mary. Because that is very beautiful, the way he spoke about this. But he says, you know, God is not a magician. No, he did things with a magic wand,
mm-hmm.
a magic wand. So I tell people that all the time, don't I? I think I've said it here too. You know, it's just like God's not going to wave a wand over. You know, we pray, we want somebody to change, or we want to change, or whatever. It's nothing happens, you know, quite miraculously. I mean, there could be, right? There are cases, but for the most part,
it's a process.
Well, the Pope. Puts it in perspective here. But he's not a magician. That's the thing. God is not a magician who just does things with a magic wand. No, he says there's the Pope said there's a danger in thinking of that God was a magician. So he's making reference to the book of Genesis, the God created thing with a magic wand. He just, you know, he said, and it was. It was not... It was not so because God made things and allowed them to proceed. This is what the beautiful thing. He allowed them to proceed with interior laws that he gave to each one so that they could develop and arrive at fullness, this whole process of creation. The Lord gave autonomy, but not independence, to the things of the universe, for God is not a magician. He is the creator. But when on the sixth day of that story, he comes to create man, he gives him another autonomy, somewhat different, but not independent, an autonomy that is freedom, this idea of freedom. He tells the man to go forward in history, and he makes man responsible for the creation so that he would dominate creation, bring it forward, and arrive at the fullness of time. And what was the fullness of time? What he had in his heart, the arrival of his son, because God, as we heard from St. Paul, has predestined us, all of us, to be conformed to the image of his son. So the whole, this we often see, speak of the incarnation and the Paschal mystery is the culminating moment in history, that all things, the whole of human history culminates in the coming of God in the flesh. And he also says, the Pope said, this is the path of humanity. It's mankind's journey. God wanted us to be like his son and his son to be like us. And so in speaking about the genealogy of Jesus, he says, there are saints and sinners on the list, but history continues because God has willed that all men be free. And even if it's true that when man misused his freedom, God drove him out of the paradise, he also made a promise. So man left paradise with hope, a sinner, but with hope. Mankind did not make this journey alone. God walks with us because God chose an option. He opted for time, not for the moment. This is a very interesting concept, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God opted for time, not for the moment. He is a God of time. He is a God of history. He is a God who walks with his children until the fullness of time when his son becomes man. God walks with the righteous and the sinners. He walks with everyone to arrive at that encounter, the final encounter of man with God. That's how he began his reflection today, and I thought it was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think what my problem is, sinuses.
Oh.
Yeah, I can just,
feels like you're in a fishbowl.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Even as I'm speaking, I feel mm-hmm. like I don't have...
Is that allergies?
Yeah, I think so.
It is.
At this that time of year, so I think it might be, because I took a Claritin about an hour ago, but I can feel the...
Pressure.
The pressure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's keeping me down. It's keeping me down.
Yeah, I don't have that myself.
So yeah, good
either.
For you.
it's more of a guy. No, they're women.
I don't know. No,
in my family, it's only the men.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, today's the first day I feel it. So it's kind of like with great effort, I'm speaking this morning.
Mm, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah,
no,
but
no,
I can feel it inside.
You can feel it. Yeah.
Anyway, but last week, I think, or the last couple of weeks, I've spoken a lot about the Quran and about Islam and all that, but just still finding these most interesting documentaries or news pieces or commentaries and all that. They're really quite mm-hmm. fascinating. There's so much out there. But I mentioned about, and I'm saying this again because I was looking at this, he was an imam, a leader of worship in Islam. I guess it would be similar to a priest, but yet very different. Priest in the Catholic Church, but very, very different. And he converted to Christianity based on his reading of the Quran. He discovered Jesus based on his reading of the Quran.
Wow.
Quran. And it's absolutely fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. He was almost put to death by his family because of it, because that's what the Quran demands. And so he was imprisoned by his own family, and he was starved, and the things that, I'm not even going to go into the stuff that was done to him, but it was really by the grace of God that he survived, because after about a month, he describes his condition so weakened, and he had been abused, but finally his father came in and said, this is your last chance, and he mm-hmm. had the sword with him. And he says, either you renounce Jesus, and submit to Allah as, because for him, Allah is God, God, you know, yes. God. And so he, through Jesus, he discovers this relationship with the Father. Yeah. This is very beautiful how he talks about it. In fact, I'm going to see if we can get it on the radio one of these days, because it is a fascinating story. It's only about 13
Father,
minutes,
because over the weekend, I saw a video of a conversion of a Muslim, a Shiite Muslim, to Christianity because Jesus came to him, appeared to him.
Sure.
And it's his testimony is so powerful. It's very powerful.
Is he, do you know what country he's from?
I don't know. I don't know if it was, it was Iraq, I believe.
Iraq.
But it's so powerful.
Yeah, this, if I can get this, we'll have to work on it and see if we can get this on the, because it's mm-hmm. about 13 minutes, mm-hmm. but it is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And he, but it was by the grace of God that he, survived yeah. because he, his father was choking him.
Oh my.
And told him, you know, that he, to. And he had the sword. And he said all of a sudden he had this strength that he didn't have, because he had been basically starved. They were, mm-hmm. Trying to starve him to death, trying to bring him, you know, to
and so he was in a weakened state, yet he had to...
He was imprisoned as well. They locked him in a room. Yeah, exactly. But he said all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this strength came, he had this strength, and he said he shouted out, Jesus, you know, Jesus. And he said at that point, the sword struck his father. Didn't kill him, but struck the father and shocked everybody. And, the family came. Because it struck the father again across mm-hmm. the chest. He didn't do it. The guy didn't do it.
Yeah.
But he had the father had the sword, and it cut him across the chest. And they took him. He had to take him to the hospital. You know. And it was at that. And they forgot to lock the door.
Oh.
And so he was able to escape.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But what he did is he describes reading the Quran, and he said, let's see. I made a couple of notes here. But 25 places Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. Muhammad is mentioned only 4 times, although the Quran, God is, mm-hmm. Allah is dictating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the point I was going to make, is that and this is what, to bring us back to the genealogy, mm-hmm. and as we celebrate the birth of the Blessed Virgin, the distinction, I mean, there's many, many distinctions, but one radical distinction between Islam and Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, in the book, you know, and we are in the book, in the Quran, we're called the people of the book. Mm-hmm. But in the Quran, as I've mentioned before here on the radio and at Mass, God dictates, or Allah dictates to Muhammad. Now, Muhammad... had knowledge of Christianity, certainly, because that was the dominant religion of the time. And this, you got to remember that Islam is born or comes into existence only 600 years later after Christianity. Yeah. But whereas in Judeo-Christianity, God is in relationship with the people. He's walking, as the Pope was saying here, right?
That's what this young man, he said that... growing up, his father was an imam as well, and uh-huh. as a young man, he studied the Quran, he was taught the Quran, he went into the military, and he said, as it was the duty of a Muslim, stated in the Quran, how you have to kill in the name of Allah, all the infidels, he said, that's what I did.
Right.
And as a Shiite, he said he would pray 3 times a day, but he went further and did 5 times his prayer. And he was in prison because of, he had 35 different identities because he was in the military and killing all the infidels. But he said as he was in prison, he was praying and asked Allah, God, what do you want from me? He was in deep prayer. And he said at that night, he was a young man, he said the spirit came in his cell. And he said, I don't know who it was, but I was terrified and I started rebuking and thinking it was Satan, but it wasn't. That spirit was so strong and it wouldn't leave. And he said, I was so afraid and I don't know how these words came out. I shouted out the name of Jesus. And he said, the spirit left. And for 2 weeks, he said, I was so confused. I didn't know what it was. And I asked Allah, tell me, what is this? What is this? And he said 2 weeks and didn't hear anything. And again, he was in deep prayer. And at this point, he was fasting. And he said the spirit came in again in the cell, and he was terrified. And he said, who are you? And the spirit at that point said, I am the truth, the way, and the life.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, he started crying. He said, forgive me, God, forgive me. And he said, you know, it's a sin for a Muslim to say that God has come to you, because God doesn't, in the right. Islam religion, God does not come to
exactly.
you. There's
That's
no
right.
relationship.
That's right.
It's just God's word.
Right.
And he said, at that point, I was so confused, and I said, forgive me, God. And he said, and then he said, I asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jesus Christ. And the man, it was so powerful, Father, this young man was in tears.
Sure.
He said, I was so confused, yet I felt his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. I thought of when Jerry brought up last week, and he said, you know, as I asked him to forgive me, he said, I forgive you. And he said, how can Jesus, God, come to a Muslim? How can he forgive a Muslim?
Sure.
And Jesus told me, as I have forgiven you, you have to forgive others. And he said, but how can I just do that, just like that? And he said, Jesus told me, it's like drinking water. It's that easy. And he said, my Lord, there's no words to describe. He said, this happened 15 years ago. And till this day, I will never forget. There are no words to describe his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. And he said, at that point, I prayed to God to give me, I needed a Christian Bible. I needed to know more about Jesus, about God and his love. Never in my life have I experienced. And he said, for so many years, I was deceived. All these years, I was taught and I believed this, and it was a lie, he said. And so he said, the next day, someone came up to him from another area of the prison and gave him a Bible. He said, how God answered my prayers right away.
I think this is the same, not the same imam I'm speaking about, but I think we have to check this out, mm-hmm. because this is another fascinating, the story is
it's
fascinating.
Powerful, yeah.
But this guy, I think he was in a Israeli prison. He was the son of the head of Hamas.
Oh,
he okay. is the son of the head of Hamas. And he may have been an imam. The father might have been an
sure.
imam, but he's the head of this terrorist group. And if it's the same one,
I wonder. I have the video on.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. it's it's a fascinating
it's
story. But he was a prisoner in Israel.
Okay.
And as a Muslim, as a terrorist,
mm-hmm.
and he converted, as you said. So mm-hmm. his story is fascinating as well. But you know, it's the same thing with this. This guy's name is Mario Joseph,
okay.
and I think they took that as his Christian name.
Okay.
But he, when he had this experience, well, as I said, he was reading. So he went to his own teachers. He was an imam, but he went to his own peers,
yeah.
and he wanted an explanation mm-hmm. as to why. What he found most curious as he was reading, he says, you know, it's interesting. He just went through. He counted that Jesus is written into the Quran 25 times. And the other thing that was really, that struck him, and we've talked about this as well, or at least I've mentioned it, is Maryam. Mary is in the Quran. In fact, there's a whole chapter to Mary.
Her.
She's the only woman that's named in the Quran. And in the Quran, she is immaculately conceived, mm-hmm. born without original sin. She miraculously gives birth to to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She is assumed into heaven, so it's basically it is as we ever virgin, always mm-hmm. virgin. She was ever virgin, assumed into heaven, immaculately conceived. The only woman named in the Bible, and Jesus is I have to find this exactly, but called the Christ, but not God, because
mm-hmm.
again, it's beyond. We have to understand the Quran. For us, certainly, it's Muhammad is writing this. He's, you know, as people will bring so often. You know, in the course of my 30 years as a priest, I've got even a book, a little book upstairs where somebody felt that God dictated, right? Mm-hmm. This is God dictated this message, and it is to be, told me to give it to you, and you're supposed to get it out to others and all that. And it's, you know, I've looked through it, and it's contrary to what we, I mean, there's certainly elements of truth and all that. And it's, on one hand, you can see the woman is a Christian, but things are skewed. And so there's a kind of revelation here that is really not a revelation, but it may be her own projecting herself onto whatever, you know. Yes. And we see this all the time. And it, so I suggest Muhammad, the same thing, you know, that there was a, he projected onto God, because there is one God, God who is the creator of all, who has loved all of us into life. But we're in a spiritual battle, and so things do get skewed, and the devil will confuse and divide and destroy. So we have to acknowledge the reality, the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. But the victory has been secured, you know, in this culminating moment in history, and that is the incarnation and the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who then sent the apostles to go to all the nations. And so, you know, you've got the Catholicity of the church, a universal church. But in any case, to go back to this this gentleman, so he started asking questions. And the imams, actually, the other leaders of prayer, imams, were told him to he's asking too many questions, many questions.
Yeah. And that's another thing that this man said, that a Muslim never questions or doubts God, that that's a sin. That's a big major sin for a Muslim.
Which incidentally, there's another video I saw, which was very, very powerful, in Egypt. This was from Egypt, and it was a woman host of a show. Sure. She had a talk show, like an Oprah, you know, one of those things in Egypt. And her guest was a doctor, a professor, a woman doctor, who was in the burqa, and you know, could only see her eyes. And the host was a very attractive woman with no burqa, no veil or anything, but she was Muslim, and so was the doctor, the professor. And so the professor came on the show, and she was to speak about her research and her studies, right?
Yeah.
In reference to Muhammad and to the Quran and all that. And she began to question. The professor began to question. Now, you got to get this. You know, she's got the burqa. She's got the, what is it, the hashad or something, the burqa, the veil and all that. But she can only see her eyes. And she's the one who's and the host is this beautiful woman who, is, you know, is the host. You know, so she's like the Oprah of, so the doctor, the professor, is challenging the Quran.
And she's dressed in a burqa.
And she's in a burqa.
As opposed to the other one that's not.
And basically what she's saying is that there's, there's a systemic problem. There's systemic evil. And at this, she questions the let's call it the divine nature of the book. And she then brings, she questions Muhammad in speaking about, you know, what is known about the life of Muhammad. Well, the host, this beautiful woman who's not wearing a, just went, got furious. And they had this, it was an unbelievable.
She should have been the one dressed in the burqa.
Well, what she did, it would be the opposite.
The opposite,
And she told, and she kicked her off the show.
Boy.
She kicked her off the show. I mean, she said, how dare you, you know, a question, our beloved prophet Muhammad, and all this.
That's a sin.
And the woman, the doctor who's wearing the burqa, says, but you're not even, you know, following the, strictly speaking, the Sharia. But how dare you? She said, I am a follower of our beloved, I think they said like beloved, but it was absolutely amazing.
That's interesting.
And violent. It got really, really violent. So she was told to get off. And the poor doctor in her burqa is trying to take the microphone off. And she said, you get out of here. She said, take that. You take it off when you get out. But she said, get out of here. Go. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
But anyway, going back.
I want to see this now.
It's amazing, really, you know, when you think about it. But because the thing is, you know, people will try to say, well, this is not in the Quran. But it is. And they're all saying. So that even So this Mario Joseph, mm-hmm. going back to in relation to your, who I'm almost certain, the gentleman you're talking about is the son of the leader of Hamas. Mm-hmm. He's living now in the United States, okay. and he's written a book. And it could be, it might be somebody else, but his story is just mm-hmm. absolutely fascinating. But he was in a prison, so that's what makes me think. Well, he was sure. in a, he wouldn't have been in a, they wouldn't have given him a Bible in Palestine or in, well, maybe in Palestine, but in a Muslim prison. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He was in Israel, imprisoned, because he had been working, he was in the army, like
he
you said.
He was in the army, yeah. yes.
And he's completely out of the community now. In fact, he's his life is has been threatened
sure.
and all that.
Mm.
But this, as with this other guy too, the Mario Joseph. But it's the same thing. What he discovered. So in discovering Jesus, he kept looking. And he said, but they call Jesus the Christ
mm-hmm.
in the Quran. And of course, this fixation on this woman, the only woman, Mariam. And then he began, so he had the two. He says, I got to get a Bible. So he didn't, kind of like the Jews who accepted Jesus as a Messiah, they had no intentions of leaving Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was the fulfillment of all the prophecy, right? So,
right.
so it's not about leaving. Paul never intended to leave Judaism. None of the Christians did.
Mm-hmm.
They were all Jewish. But it was only when the Jews would no longer allow them. If you're going to accept those Jews who didn't accept the Messiah, the messianic identity of Jesus, it says, okay, then you cannot, you're banned from the synagogue mm-hmm. and from the the temple was destroyed, right?
Right.
But you're banned from the synagogues. And I mean, remember, Paul was a Pharisee. You know, he was a zealot, mm-hmm. very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I'm all over the place, but Mario Joseph, you know, so he begins to investigate. He begins to look into this. So he gets a Bible so he can read it alongside the Quran
yeah.
and get to know, understand who this Jesus is. And he was just the same thing as with the gentleman you're talking. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was just the fact that you could have a personal relationship sure. with God. He says, I never heard this. It never even occurred to me that
yeah. mm-hmm.
I could call God Father. Call God Father, Abba, Daddy. And he so beautifully speaks about Daddy, you know, and says, so that I could have this personal relationship with God. It's just fascinating. We'll try to get it on the radio.
I'm
maybe tomorrow.
If it's the same.
Well, that's,
I'll show you
that's a different. This guy's a different guy for
this
sure.
This guy was, it was so more. I was brought to tears because he was so, and you could tell he was being genuine.
Yeah.
He's not making it up.
I think the one you're talking about is, and I wish I had his name here, but I saw that as well. There's a number of mm-hmm. videos on him. In fact, he was on the news last week or the week before in view of all this these atrocities
sure.
in the Middle East. And he stands firm in stating that, you know, all this is justified based on the reading of the Quran. He was
yes.
raised in the Quran. He fought
sure.
in, he was a terrorist himself.
Sure.
His father, if it's the same guy, the father is the head of Hamas, mm-hmm. and he had this miraculous intervention or this encounter with Jesus, just
yeah.
like Paul,
sure,
Saul.
Sure,
And the same thing with this guy, too. And they says, you know, they know well what is in the Quran. Just as a doctor, the professor,
mm-hmm.
who was kicked off mm-hmm. the wearing the burqa and all that. And she said, no. She said, you know, we. And what she's saying is, and this is the same thing that the guy you're talking, is that, you know, we have to be informed. We have to be open.
Mm-hmm.
We have to critically look at what it is we espouse. But the part of the problem is, a major part of the problem is identity. And the guy, the son of the leader of Hamas speaks about that, as does this imam who converted. And this guy went to the retreat house, and the Catholic priest was, they had a number, and he says a number of Hindu and Christians and Muslims were there. As they're being instructed, it is absolutely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get it on. We'll
yes.
try to get it on tomorrow. We got to take a break. It's a half hour into the show, and didn't even mean to get off into this, but it is kind of interesting.
It's important.
It's
it is all connected.
It is connected. Yeah, it's connected because we're talking about in Christianity, God is in relationship with His people.
Mm-hmm.
He walks with His people. So we'll come back and look at what the Holy Father was saying on this occasion of the feast or the birthday of the Blessed Virgin. Okay, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries. And games for adults, including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music, too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us this Monday with the birthday. The church celebrates.
I almost forgot this.
What? What's that?
Here, give it a second here, because...
Our Lady. Our Lady. Happy birthday.
Very appropriate.
Nice. Lord bless her.
You do it for everyone else, why not her?
Exactly, why not? Thank you, Nick. That was very nice. Happy birthday, oh, Holy Mother of God, mm-hmm. You know? I love the Marian prayers are so beautiful. You know?
Oh, yes.
They're so beautiful. I was reading something a couple of weeks ago, too, about this was from mainline Protestant churches, the Lutherans, but they recognize, especially the Episcopalians, but they don't nurture the same kind of relationship with the Mother of God as we do. Now, it was odd, you know. I tell you, I was in a church in New York City. I walked in and it was St. Bartholomew. The name of the church was St. Bartholomew. Did I mention this on the radio? I don't know. Maybe
no,
I did. Anyway, I happened to go in the church. I was on the Fifth Avenue or something, Fifth Avenue, Park Avenue, in the northeast side of Manhattan. And so anytime I see a church, if it's open, I like to go in and pray. You know, so assuming it's a Catholic church, St. Bartholomew.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and just something didn't seem right. I mean, it was a beautiful mm-hmm. church. It was very, very beautiful.
Something was missing, right?
But I sat there, and then they had an image of an icon of the Blessed Virgin in one of the corners. But it just being there, something didn't mm-hmm. seem right. And so I was there probably about 20 to 30 minutes at most, probably maybe only 20 minutes. And I'm trying to pray, and I just said, it's not that I couldn't pray, but it's just something was not right. You know, you just have this intuitive sense that something is not right. And so as I left the church, I just didn't feel comfortable. And there was a woman like a porter, you know, like mm-hmm. Lorenzo. And I said, is this a Catholic church? And she said, oh, no. She said, this is an Episcopal church. Okay. You know, not the, you know,
uh-huh.
say anything against the Episcopal, but I just knew. I knew.
Got a feeling.
That it wasn't Catholic.
Sure.
And now, why did I bring that up? God, I'm kind of all over the place.
But
go ahead.
Father, it reminds me when we went to the Holy Land, that you led the pilgrimage, and the mass you had in Nazareth at Our Lady's home where she grew up.
Right.
That was very special. It was very powerful experience. I mean, at other places, but there was Our Lady's, our Lord, of course, he's the center, mm-hmm. but Our Lady's presence was
It was.
There.
It was very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That was the place of her, I don't know if that was actually the place of her birth, but that was where she raised, that
where
was the
was,
place of the Annunciation
mm-hmm.
where she had received the message from the angel.
Right.
And where Jesus was raised, I believe so, in Nazareth. He was certainly raised in Nazareth, yeah. But that was her home.
Yes.
But it was, and if you remember as well, that we had, every time we had Mass, no matter what day it was, either we began or we ended the Mass, the bells of the Angelus went off. Do you remember
that's
that?
Right. Mm. Yes, they did.
Almost in every place yes, we went, it was almost like at the right point, or it was during the time of consecration, that we would reach that mm-hmm. moment mm-hmm. at the time of the Angelus bells,
yes.
When the angel announced to Mary. It's the whole, the Angelus is the whole prayer for the incarnation,
yeah.
The conception, the incarnation. Let it be done to me as you have said, mm-hmm. you know.
And it's so important because God chose her to be his mother and our mother. And it's an important part of our faith. You can't put her aside, or you can't, like we've always said before, you can't break up the family.
Well, that's was the point that I wanted to make with this this article I had read by, I think it was a Lutheran, a pastor or something, who just said that, what will it take for us to
mm-hmm.
to understand mm-hmm. and to nurture this proper relationship with the Blessed Virgin that the mm-hmm. Catholics have? Because we have, you know, it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. She's a mother of the Messiah. Even as I was celebrating the Mass the other day, or before, I think I was talking to some people who were not Catholic, but they're open. They're mm-hmm. open. They want to know why, you know.
Sure.
And that certain things we do seem strange, you know, mm-hmm. that we would have images of the Blessed Virgin, and that we would light candles, and that we would kneel down and we would offer a prayer. And for many who are not Catholic, maybe for most who are not Catholic, sure. it because they were raised to believe certain things, that this yeah. was a kind of idolatry, or that this was somehow taking something away from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in a sense, when you think about it, it's almost, do I dare compare it to Islam in this sense,
mm-hmm.
that God inspired those writers,
mm-hmm.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul and Timothy and James and John, the whole Bible is inspired by God. It's not a dictation. God didn't dictate, but he inspired men. And so there's, you know, you have to go into that and read it within the context of the whole and understand within what context it was written. But the truth is there. It has a truth. But anyway, it's a story of God, as the Pope was just saying today, God walking with the people, forming this people very patiently, the God of history, towards the fullness of time. And that fullness of time comes in the Incarnation and the Paschal Mystery, so that we would say that this time that we're in we're in the last days from the Ascension until Jesus comes at the end of time. But but going back to the relationship we have with the Mother of God, even to say Mother of God, you know, but Mother of God, you know, she's Mary of Nazareth. Why do you call her the Mother of God? Well, because what we're saying, what the Church is saying, is speaking a truth here, that it's mm-hmm. really, we're identifying her Son. Who is her Son? Jesus is God. He is God. Therefore, she's a Mother of God. She bears God.
Yeah.
In any case, this affection we have for her, our keeping her ever close to ourselves, really in obedience to Jesus, right? And for love mm-hmm. of God, in gratitude to God. So that, you know, in explaining to these people, I said, you know, of course, you know, Jesus, before he entered into his death and resurrection, our redemption, it was one of the last things he did. He entrusted to the Church, to John, who represents the disciples, beloved disciples, he entrusted his mother to John, and John to his mother. Woman, there's your son. Son, this is your mother. This is your mother. And John, the Scripture says, took her into his home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bring her into our home, into our hearts. And then we see her in the church, right? In those days from from the Ascension to Pentecost, she's there with the apostles praying. She's the only woman named here, too, the only woman named, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles. They're in the upper room in the cenacle in 9 days, the first novena, right, the nine-day prayer. Novena comes from those 9 days. And the apostles are waiting in prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby the church would be empowered and begin her mission to go out to all the nations. And Mary is there with the apostles in prayer, the only woman that is named, given a name, so the mother of the church. So you can't argue that, you know, when you look at it. So the church is doing what the church has always done from the very beginning. And again, it goes back to this relationship which these Muslims have discovered, which they couldn't possibly have in Islam, but that, and again, I go back to Mario Joseph, who hopefully we'll get him on the radio tomorrow, but he just to sense his excitement, his enthusiasm, this great discovery that God knows me, that God has given me a name, that God has given me life, that God wants to walk with me in intimacy, that God wants me to talk to him, that God wants me to share with him everything that is in my heart and my soul, that God wants me to put my trust in him, that I can call him. And he says it very so beautifully, Daddy, you know, Baba, Daddy, very affectionate, very intimate, very endearing, this relationship. But the whole church is about this relationship. So God the Father sent, we must say this every day on the radio, because this is at the heart of who we are, what we believe, what we profess. God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world, you know, to make us adopted, to adopt us into the family as sons and daughters, which would make us then really, rightfully, brothers and sisters of Jesus. And so Mary being the mother of Jesus at the foot of the cross, you know, Jesus, woman, there is your son, looking at John, the beloved disciple, and son, this is your mother. And so naturally, you know, we're brought into the, we're adopted, her adopted children. And again, as I've always make mention of this, how often do I speak about this, but the Mother Israel, the daughter Zion, again, everything culminates in the gospel, but the prophecy of Isaiah, that Mother Israel would in one moment's time, suffer the pain of labor and give birth to children she never conceived. And so in John's gospel, we see Mary only twice, at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, the beginning of the mission of Jesus, initiated by the woman, Mary, who says, son, they have no wine. They're at the wedding feast. He says, woman, why does this concern you? The hour has not yet come. She just says, do what he tells you to do. She looks at the stewards, do what he tells you to do. And he changes the water into wine, and he begins his journey, right? It'll take him to the hour. And then we see her again at the hour, there at the foot of the cross, and she's giving birth to her children. She is, in a moment's time, suffering the pain of labor, giving birth to children she did not conceive. She didn't conceive these children. She's giving birth to children she never conceived, suffering the pain of labor because we're born from the blood of the cross. We become the messianic people through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. And so it's...
And that's interesting, Father, because the beginning, you just mentioned the blood of the Lamb, and the beginning of the mission is the wine.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? The whole Eucharistic.
The prefigure, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. And then, too, to confirm this, you know, you go into the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. John writes that Bible as well. I mean, writes the last book. Mm-hmm. And about midway into the book, chapter 12, the heavens open, the ark appears, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars. And she's with child. She's about to give birth. And Satan awakens, and he waits for the ancient dragon, the serpent. He waits because he wants to, waits for the birth of the child to devour, to destroy the child. and the child escapes. All this is imagery that refers into Jesus passing beyond this life into the next. As he passes through his own death into his resurrection, Satan has no power over him. So he goes, Satan goes after the woman. But she too, you know, she too escapes. And this is, again, very symbolic, but the imagery refers to her, eventually to her assumption. Once she passes through the death, Satan has no power over her. So what does he do? He waits for her children, And who are her children? But those who give witness to Jesus and obey the commandments. Now, that church is, that woman is the church, but in a singular way, it is the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, who represents, in the most perfect way, the church, mother church. And the Pope speaks about the mother church, right? That the church, we're born from the womb of the church, you know, washed in the waters of baptism, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Anyway.
It's all connected.
It goes back, it's the story of God in relationship, walking with, forming the people. And he takes from among the smallest people, as the Pope speaks about today, you know, this simple maiden in Nazareth, the fishermen, the tax collectors, the shepherd boy, David, you know, all through history, it's not the people you would expect that God would choose, that his beautiful design for humanity would be revealed, would come to fruition through simple people, humble people.
Isn't there that saying where God doesn't choose the equipped, but he equips the people he chooses?
Exactly, yeah. I've never heard that, but that's so true, yeah. Listen, I think we got to take a break, and we'll come back and kind of wrap up. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org for the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's two blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries, and games for adults including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. As we kind of wrap up, we are wrapping up. We have to wrap up, right? None of this kind of stuff. But anyway, we're talking about God in relation to the people. You know, he's walking with people. He's forming the people. Today we celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And, you know, faith is a deeply interior thing, right? It's something we feel very deep within us, and it has to express itself. You know, God has to communicate. God conveys, he communicates himself in and through the flesh, through Jesus, right? Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is God. Mary is his mother. The whole of salvation history is, as the Pope said also a couple of weeks ago, is that God walking faithfully with the people, a people who are unfaithful. And as we read the genealogy this morning at Mass, and we'll read it again this evening at Mass on this Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin, you've got all kinds of characters in that genealogy. You know, it begins with Abraham all the way to Joseph, right? mm-hmm. The husband of Mary, and you got the saints and the sinners. But God is a constant here. God is consistent. God is ever faithful. He perseveres. He's very patient. And yeah, yes, of course, we're unfaithful given this collective reality that we are as a people walking through history. But the Pope today goes on. He says the gospel brings the story, the century-long story from Abraham to Joseph to an end, to this culminating moment in history, in a tiny thing, in a small village, with Joseph and Mary. The God of great history is also in that little story there because he wants to walk with everyone. Mm-hmm. He says, and so the Pope says, don't fear. He's quoting St. Thomas of Aquinas. Do not fear the great things, but also have regard for the small, because this is divine. And this is how God is. He is in the great things, but also in the small things. He is a Lord who walks, and he is a Lord of patience, the patience of God, the patience he has had with all these generations, with all these people who have lived their story of grace and sin. God is patient. God walks with us because he wants us all to come to be conformed to the image of his Son. And from the hour that he gave us the freedom and creation, not independence, until today, he continues to walk with us. And so we come to Mary. We come to Mary. We are in the antechamber of this story, the birth of the Virgin Mother, the Virgin Mary. And she says, let us ask in prayer that the Lord will give us the unity to walk together and peace of heart. This is today's grace. Today we can look at Our Lady, the small holy child without sin, pure and predestined to become the Mother of God, and also look at the story that lies behind her so long over centuries and ask, how do I journey in my story? You know, how do I journey in my story? Do I allow God to walk with me? Do I allow God to walk with me, or do I want to walk alone? Do I let him caress me, help me, forgive me, carry me forward so that I may arrive at the encounter with Jesus Christ? This will be the end of our journey, an encounter with the Lord. It would do us all good to ask ourselves this question today: do I let God be patient with me? Is that a beautiful mm-hmm, way to say it, huh? Yeah. Do I yes. allow God to be patient with me? And so looking at this great story and even this small village, we can praise the Lord and humbly ask that he give us peace, that peace of heart that only he can give us. And he only gives us when we let him walk with us. Now, going back to the conversion of these Muslims, hopefully we'll have tomorrow Mario Joseph. But you understand that this experience so radically changed their lives that they would rather die mm-hmm. than renounce Jesus Christ. And that meant in this radical change that happened in their lives because of this encounter they had with the Lord mm-hmm. and with Our Lady, in the case of Mario Joseph, because again, you can't separate the mother from the son. And but that it meant also having to leave their families. They were renounced by their families. In fact, in his case, and certainly in the case of the, sure. The son of the leader of Hamas, what do they call it? Fatwa. I think it's a fatwa. Fatwa? I believe it's, anyway, you know, it's like the mark of death. You know, in other words, marked for death. Yeah. Like the Christians who had their homes marked with the letter N mm-hmm. to identify them as the followers of the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. That they either convert to Islam, they pay the tax, which is a humiliation whereby they lose all their rights, and or they face execution. And so I believe they call that the fatwa. I'm not sure. I'll check that out. But again, it begs a question, doesn't it, on yes. the part of all of us, you know, as we are in our own world here in this United States of America, where, you know, everything is, well, I was thinking the other day of yesterday they had the service for Joan Rivers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I don't want to be overly critical on all that, because she was funny, you know. She was kind of gross. Yeah, I mean, she was, there was some of the stuff that she said was really, mm-hmm. Talk about risque. Would that be a raw? I just say raw.
Risque,
raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, raw. And yet she was, I was reading a little bit about the service, you know, in the synagogue there in New York. And a Reformed Judaic synagogue or temple. I don't know if they call it temple or synagogue, whatever. But Howard Stern gave the eulogy. So that kind of gives you a sense, you know.
Oh my gosh,
you get the whole picture.
But I was just, I just thought, well, you know, I'm not, you know what, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, things get so skewed. It's going to keep using that word skewed, so distorted. And it's just, but again, God is patient, right? God works with us and through us, and He walks. He doesn't abandon, you know, in spite of our quirks and our idiosyncrasies and our foibles and our little idolatries and all that kind of stuff. He's always, because in the end, you know, as it is, in the end, you take nothing with you. You know, by the way, I have to say, this is as I was listening to this interview with Joan Rivers. She didn't believe in the hereafter, she said. And yet she would often refer to God. You know, so I think deep down, you know, it's just, we can't go by what people say.
No.
And we don't know how God is working in the life of a...
And only He knows what's in there.
Exactly.
He knows.
And also, you know, going back to the little story that I was telling, I think on Friday, but that God... He knows where we've been, and He knows what has happened, what has been done to us, the injustices, where we've been victimized, where we've been hurt. You know, not that you go through life, you know, oh, woe is me, oh, woe is me. In fact, speaking of Joan Rivers, she would say, get over it already, you know, get over it. But she found humor, you know, her own issues or whatever it was. We got just 1 minute. Somebody want to say the last? You can have the last minute because I'm just kind of rambling here. I'm going nowhere.
Go ahead.
Yeah, fine.
Go ahead, Father.
Huh?
Go
You're fine, Father.
Well, but you get the point, right?
Sure.
I hope.
You know, no one really knows.
The point is that God is faithful.
Oh yes.
God is faithful, and we have to help each other. It was the reading yesterday. We had to learn to live within these parameters, to live within these boundaries, and to carry each other through, but to keep our eyes on the Lord and to nurture that relationship. So these Muslims who have converted remind us, you know, don't take for granted. Don't take for granted what gift has been given to you. This is a very, very beautiful gift, and that is that you can call God Father. And what a wonderful, beautiful discovery they found in this. Yeah. Only in and through Jesus. That's what we say, really, through the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, into her home, around the table, there in the company of Jesus, our brother, and through Jesus to the Father. So it's the whole family. And then we've got to carry each other through. So anyway, happy birthday to Our Lady. You know, this is her. We celebrate the Nativity, the birthday of the Blessed Virgin. We thank God for the faith of her parents, Anne and Joachim, the two great saints, and that we imitate her fiat, her yes, that we have the courage and the humility each day to say yes to the will of God. Let it be done to me as you have said. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now.